course together and then the course. Here we go.
Perfect
sound of my voice can say that and can have that blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. You may be seated.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. If there's anyone visiting this morning, if you would fill out a visitor's card, we would appreciate that, and you can drop it in the offering plate here in just a few minutes. Enjoyed having everyone together Friday night. It was really good. I haven't heard that much laughter in 2 years. Yeah, we're going to defeat this COVID thing. We're going to have birthday parties. Get people into party mode, and they won't pay attention to COVID, right? That's right. Yeah. It was a good time. I appreciate everybody showing respect to an old man. Got one card that said something about a dog smelling old people. I don't know how old people smell, but if the old dog smelled me and he liked it, it's okay with me. It doesn't matter. There was a few things in there about dogs, and of course there was a couple of things about motorcycles too. Chris got me a card with a motorcycle on it, and Tracy got the same one. I got two motorcycles Friday night. Hey, like that? That's a good night for me. Yeah, and I appreciate it. Now, on my eyesight, just some of you are asking, these glasses are not doing me any good for you, okay? I see you better with them off now. When I put them on, y'all look plumb fuzzy. So maybe that's it. But I have to have them on to read. That's the problem. As soon as I get the other eye fixed, I'm going to Walmart. I'm going to get me some reading glasses only. And the rest of it, I'll be able to see clearly. And I can sing that song. I can see clearly now. Oh, I figured y'all would know. Okay, it's good to see everybody, and we're here to worship. We're here to worship. Can we laugh and worship? Of course we can. Yeah, laughter is good medicine, and we're going to do that. But we're here to pay attention to the one who loves us, and who cares for us, and who wants to see us go to the place he's prepared for us in heaven. And he's got a plan for that. I'm going to cover that this morning in a little bit different way, but you hang in there. And I think when we leave here today, we'll have a little bit better understanding of where we stand in our relationship with him. If you would like, that's the best way to put it, we'll have our ushers come forward right now and receive our offering. And Henry will sing a song for us in just a minute. It's good to see everyone here who's not been able to come here recently. We've had some folks sick in the congregation, but I see some of those are back, and maybe soon we'll get them all back. By March, when the weather gets warm, we ought to be ready to get busy and do some things, right? Yeah. Let's ask the Lord to bless this. John, would you do that, please? Amen.
You know, there's times in our lives we beat ourselves up. Sometimes we get beat up by people that say they're our friends, but they're really not. I know I've heard Tom and Dan say it many times before. When they'd be going out, their daddy would look at them and say, "Remember who you are." Well, our Father in heaven says, remember who you are. You're redeemed.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures. Wondering how long is this gonna last? Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won. I am redeemed. me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. You wipe away every stain. And I'm not who I used to be, 'cause I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I've been called unworthy. Named by the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. You wipe away every stain. And I'm not who I used to be, because I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same, and a hope that will carry me home. I am redeemed. You set me free. Shake off these heavy chains. You wipe away every stain. And I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. You wipe away every stain. And I'm not who I used to be. Oh God, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. 'Cause I am redeemed. Thank God.
Bought and paid for. Nothing still owing on me. That's why I'm free. You know, when you owe somebody, you're not free. You got to get it paid off. Well, he bought and paid it completely. Nothing owed. Woo! Mercy. That's good stuff. Yeah. Oh, so good to have you in the house of God this morning. And if you would like to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8, or look at the board, John will have it on the... That's another John, by the way. He'll put it on the board so you can see the words. Now, if I had... read everything I would consider part of this message, I would have gone back farther, and I'll bring some of that in here in just a minute. But in verse 42, we're going to read through verse 47, and then I'll bring a few verses in just to let you see this point. This John 8 has a lot to say about God as our Father. Now, when you go back in the Old Testament, father is used in different ways. Abraham was the father of what? A nation. He was the father of a nation. Now, I don't understand father of a nation, except it was a nation God put him over, and he was the ruler of that. Well, in the Bible, we God is talked about as being a father in different ways also. And we're going to clear that up because, you see, this world wants to believe that God is the father of all people, point blank. Put a period at the end of that sentence. And they include themselves as God being their father. God is the father of all creation. He is the father of the universe. But there's a difference when it comes to your father, your heavenly father, as a Christian. And we're going to clear that up a little bit here, hopefully. If I don't, come back tonight and we'll try it again. Okay? Let's read the scripture, if you would. Verse 42. Jesus said unto them, now, there was a conversation going on here. That's why I said what I did. There's a conversation going on way back in chapter 8. And when he gets to this point, something has already been said, and you can read it yourself when you get home. Right now is not the time because we're going to get into this message. But verse 42 says, and Jesus said unto them, it's a big word. That's a huge word. If God were your father, ye would love me. Now, there were people here who didn't love him. There were people here who absolutely hated him, you know. But there's a difference in people who just outright hate him and don't want to have anything to do with him. And there is people who are into the religious world trying to be a part of something that they're really not. Now, I'll clear that up in just a minute. But this religious world, folks, and about everybody that I know of has some kind of religion. And it just so happens that the religion they want to be a part of is that God is their father. They want to be recognized as children of God, and God as their father. And that can't be. It could be, but it's not for everybody. Watch what he says. If God were your father, they claimed him. If you go right down here at the bottom, it says, I'll just go ahead and read it. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. That's what they claimed. We have one father, even God. He says, but wait a minute here. If God were your father, ye would love me. They didn't love him. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Now stop right there. Don't look down at any more. I'm through reading because I want to go back and read it after he said that. That was a question. Why do ye not understand my speech? Why do you suppose he asked them that? You're not understanding what I'm saying. You know why? He says why. Now you can look down. Even because ye cannot hear my word. Now, was there something wrong with their hearing? More than likely not. More than likely not. They weren't hearing his word. The reason you can't understand him, you can't hear what he's saying. And you can't hear what he's saying because they don't know what he's saying. That there is no way they can know because he's not their father. Ye are of your father, the devil. He went on to tell them where they were. Now, you don't have to go around telling this lost world that their father is the devil. They know. Somewhere in the conversation, it'll come up. Your father is either God in heaven or Satan in hell. Satan or God, one or the other, is your father. There are no more fathers than that. And if God is not your father, no matter how religious we might feel or seem, Satan is your father if God is not. And I say that with all love in my heart because I want you to know God beyond the shadow of a doubt. And to do that, folks, as Christians today, we have our work cut out for us. Because Satan has got such a protection for his name in this old world, and he's being spoken well of. Now, people won't tell you that because they don't understand it either, but they are. He has subtly came into lives of people, and we are being absolutely fooled by Satan himself. He's the best at deception of anybody, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. And so Jesus is trying to help these folks. He said, you're of your father the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He went on to give a huge sin here. He was a murderer from the beginning. Amen? And abode not in the truth. Didn't know the truth. Couldn't recognize it. Nowhere. It wasn't in him. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. He didn't give Satan any slack, did he? And we can't. We're so timid. Christians are so timid today going around afraid we're going to upset somebody's life if we say something about the person who's lost, Satan being their father. Or that we talk so well of God that God is everything to us. Well, we're going to find out today that if we're not there, we may have a problem with who our father is, folks. Amen? Here we go. For he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Be very careful when you say, I don't understand God's word. There may be some things in there you don't understand. But be very careful that you stay away from God's word because you say, I don't understand that. The King James Version is what we normally go by here. You may have an NIV or an ESV or something else. I preach from the King James Version. If the Bible you are carrying takes away from the King James Version, in other words, there are some things left out that would make a difference in your salvation, throw it in the garbage. Don't give it to anybody. Throw it away, okay? And if you have a question about that, see me and I'll try to help you with that. Because we can't have contradictions. And we can't have confusion. God is not the author of confusion. He gave us this for our benefit. And we're going to take a look at it this morning. And when you leave here, you're going to be able to answer it. And I hope everybody in here will be open and honest with your own feelings. Do I really know him as my father? Is God my father? Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we want to know you beyond the shadow of a doubt today. And we thank you for this scripture. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that you're about to give us. And God, I do hope and pray that everybody in here has an open heart, an open mind, and we'll get this truth today because it's coming straight from you. And we praise you for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I just began the prayer with Our Father, which art in heaven, and they've put that even into a song, which is sung at weddings and things, and it sounds so, so beautiful. And the prayer itself was a prayer because they had asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And he said, well, you got to start out with our Father. If he's your Father, you're praying to him. He is in heaven. Which art in heaven? It's not a Father that you can go somewhere locally and find. He's in heaven. And when he talks about the Trinity begins with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now, there are three, but they are one. Now, I'm going to break the Father part down here for just a moment, if you'll kind of hang in there with me. Because when he says God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, we believe, most people want to believe, that if they believe in the Trinity, that he is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, then he is definitely their Father because he's God the Father. That's not so. He is not your Father just because you believe that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost is who he is and what he is. Well, here's how it breaks down. Now, as mentioned in the Trinity that I just gave you, Father of creation, that's who he is here, the Father of creation. There are Christian creeds that have affirmed, who have affirmed in belief of God the Father, and when they use the word Father in that, he is the Almighty or El Shaddai. I think Amy sings a song about it's got El Shaddai in it. Might be the title of the song. I guess it is. El Shaddai. He is Father, but he's Father there of all creation. In his capacity as Father of and Creator of the universe, that's huge. We know he's the creator of the universe, but just because man believes he's the creator of the universe does not make him your father. We just believe that he's the creator of the universe. Now, however, and here's where it breaks down. In Christianity, the concept of God as the Father of Jesus Christ, you see, the other, he's not noted as the Father of Jesus Christ. Here in Christianity, he is Father of Jesus Christ. That goes farther than the concept of God as the Creator and Father of all people. It is Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Now, when you go there, it's expressing a relationship with God's Son as your Savior. Now, if he's the Father of his Son, and he is, amen? Got to get that. If he's the Father of his Son, and his Son is your Savior, and you're one of the sons of God, then he becomes your Father. And you can actually pray to him as your Father. If you're not saved, he is not your Father. And the only prayer that you can pray to him is, have mercy on me, forgive me of my sin, and save me. Now, when he does that, and it would be immediately, there is no time process here. He's quicker than your computer. I don't care how many gigs you've got and how fast that thing is. He's faster than that. When he sees that heart given over to him and repenting of that sin, you're saved. And he's your Father. And you're his child. And that creates a whole big different relationship than what this world wants to believe. God the Father was in Christ and is revealed to us in Him. That's how you know Him. You don't know Him just from you. You know Him through His Son. That's how He's going to be your Father. So Jesus Christ is, when He's your Savior, God is your Father. We're made the children of God by faith. For by grace through faith. Right? The unmerited favor of God on your life. He favored you. He wanted you to be saved. He wanted you to go to heaven. He wanted your sins forgiven. So He gave you the grace that can only come from Him. And by grace through faith, you trusting that what He's done is good for you. Everything He did, it's for you. And if you believe that, you can be saved. Whosoever, He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Do we believe that? Now, not just by words. Listen to me. This message is huge to me today. Because I see in this old world everything going in the wrong direction. What's wrong is right, and what's right is wrong. And this is the reason. We've been duped. We've been fooled by Satan himself, and he's fooling people all the time. And we Christians are getting notes of it. We see it, but we're not doing anything about it. We're just hoping they come to the light. Folks, we have the light. We have the light to shine on this situation, but we've got to get busy. And I'm going to give you the reasons or the ways in which we can in just a minute. So I'm not going to leave you in the dark. Okay? This is not a leaving you a dark message. It's not. I promise you it's not. So if Jesus Christ is your Savior, then He says then you're born of God. If you're born of God, He's your Father and you're His child. That's as plain as it can be. To deny the Son is to deny the Father. The doctrine, and this is where this whole thing came from, because I see it all the time, and every time it pokes its head up in my life, it just makes me more angry at Satan, who has duped so many people. The doctrine of universal fatherhood. The doctrine of universal fatherhood of God is a contradiction of the teaching of Jesus Christ. Contradicts it all the time. It'll never come up that it's not contradicting your Savior. If it contradicts your Savior, doesn't it bother you that people want to contradict who you are and what you are? Well, that contradicts what my Lord and my Savior says. God is my Father because Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's not the Father of all. So, how can we change this? What does the Bible say that we can do to change this? Well, loving His Son, we're into that, right? Loving His Son. You love Him? You love Jesus? If you love His Son, that's evidence that God is your Father. Hey, like that. You need evidence. That's all the evidence you need. Go on into court right now. Go in and stand before the judge, and when it comes up for evidence, that's what you've got. You've got love for His Son. I'm not talking about in speech. I'm talking about from the heart and soul of you. If love for Jesus is not from the heart and soul, it's just words. Words won't help, folks. I promise you it won't help. So how does love show this? How does it become the evidence that we're talking about? Well, let's take a look at some. You may come up with more. I came up with these. By trusting Him. Now, I keep things simple. I've been there before. I've talked about trusting the Lord, haven't I? If you've been here very long, you know that. This is a little bit different this morning, folks. But because this is a get down and get down to where the rubber meets the road. Is that the way to say it? The nitty gritty. I don't know what nitty gritty is, but anyway, it gets down to the basics of the thing. If we don't get to the basics of it, the rest of it's just null and void. So we're going to show our love for Jesus, because if that's where we are, he's our Father. It's what he said. If you love him, then God is your Father. But now how are we going to show our love? Because love is the evidence. Love for him is the evidence that God is our Father. So how are we going to do that? We're going to do it by trusting. Now don't just take that phrase and wait till I get to the next one, because I'm going to cover this one. Okay? We're not going on to anything else until we understand what I'm talking about here when I say by trusting him, we're going to show our love for him. Have you honestly believed in your heart that Jesus came from God to lay down his life on an old rugged cross and die for you so that you could repent of your sin, believe in him, and go to heaven? Do you honestly believe that? Can you believe what you can't see? Good questions. Can you believe what you can't see? It's the only way you're going to do it. As far as this old world's concerned, they can't see it. But you know, a good thing about that is I can. Got my eyes fixed at the eye hospital. We know that's not what we're talking about, right? Can't believe what you can't see. If you had to prove that God is your Father, what evidence do you have? You got to prove it in your own life. And this whole world needs to see proof of it. We can't go around silent and expect this world to get anything from us that says God can be their Father also with a belief in Jesus Christ as their Son. If we go around silent, how are they going to know that? Folks, let's face it. Not many people getting it in church. Because a lot of the churches that people like to go to aren't preaching the gospel. They aren't preaching repentance of sin and salvation. They're preaching help people. Let's help people have groceries and let them have clothes on their back and gas in their cars and all these different things. Let's help people. Let's do this, do that. No, we need to get people saved. Then when we get people saved, we can give other people help. Number one, priority number one is not feed people and clothe people. Priority number one is getting people where their hearts are right, because their sin has been forgiven and they're ready to go to heaven. Because when it comes down time to die, I don't want to stand up in front of a casket trying to get somebody in heaven who's not there. So we're going to have to do this. And we do it by trusting in him completely for everything. Now, if we do that, there's not going to be any moaning and groaning about what can't happen in the midst of Christian people. At Liberty Fellowship Church, anything can happen that God wants to happen. I said what God wants to happen. Are there some things I'd like to see happen before I scoot on out of this old world? Yes, there are some things, but that's me. I have to wait on God to do these things, but I'm not going to wait on him and not be used of him. If I'm waiting on God to do some things at Liberty Fellowship, I'm going to stand before him and say, God, use me. Whatever you want done, use me, because that's what I want. I want to be used of you. I want to trust you. That whatever you say is good for us in leading people to Christ, that's what we need to do. Faith is evidence not seen. It's what the Bible says. Faith is evidence not seen. So faith is real. People want to treat faith like it's some kind of a creed of some sort. No, faith is real. Faith is absolutely real. It is evidence. You go into the judge in court and say, I've got evidence, Your Honor. You say, well, let's see it. Show your evidence. Well, Your Honor, I think I left it at home, but I've got it. Maybe it's in the car. Maybe it's somewhere else. I don't know where it's at right now, but I've got evidence. Can't do that. Can't do that. In this old world, you can't tell them that you have evidence if it's not showing. Trusting, is that one way in which we can show our love for the Lord? Is that we trust Him completely for everything? Believe it is. Okay. Now, in the scripture that we just read, He gives us another one. Receiving the truth of His word. How clearly do we receive this word? I love this book. I've worn a few of these out. I've marked in them. Even some of the pages are loose in this one already. But folks, what's in it is worth a whole lot more than what contains it. These leather backs and all these pages of paper, the words in this is far more important than that. It contains the truth. The truth. This old world is believing a lie and going to hell. This whole world is believing a lie and going to hell. You know why? Because the devil is their father and he is a liar. And everything he does is a lie. Young people are taken in by all the things that Satan offers them because it's glamorous, it's so lit up, it's glorious to them, but it's a lie. And it's late in their life when they finally decide what I've been living all this time is a lie. There's nothing solid about it. Folks, we need to receive the truth of God's word. That's what He said in verse 45, and I'll read it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe it not. Now, why would an unbeliever not want to believe the truth? They can't. They can't. How could they? They don't know the truth. In fact, he even said that, didn't he? How can you understand it? You can't understand it because you can't hear it. Not that their hearing was bad. They can't hear the words he's saying because the words are truth. That's kind of like us listening to somebody speaking. Anybody in here speak German? Okay, nobody speaks German. Okay, so what did I say? I got your attention, didn't I? You see, I didn't understand the words you said. You know why? Because you didn't hear German. Just thought I'd share that with you. You didn't hear it. You can't understand it because you can't hear it. Don't know the words. Well, you can't know that until you know His Son as your Father, as your Savior, so that He's your Father. That's the only way you can get there. I hope this all comes together like it came together to me. If it's not coming together, it's your fault. He says, I tell you the truth. Why would you not believe me? What a man believes will determine what he does. Now I've used that for 32 years here. And if God gives me 32 more, I'll use it more because I believe it. That whatever we believe will determine what we do. Let's don't talk about it. Let's make sure it's for real and that we're going to use it. Where there is love, there will be a reception of His word, not into our heads, but in our hearts. When little Isaiah and Levi got up here last week and quoted those books of the Bible, I was so proud of those kids. They got up here and quoted those books. I want them to know the Old Testament. I want them to know the New Testament. I want them to know the books so that it's easier for them to find them and talk about them. I want them to know that. But what they're going to memorize from those books of that Bible, I want those to get into their hearts. I don't want it just to be in their heads. I want it to be in their hearts. And that may come later. But right now, we're trying to get it in their little lives. And that goes for all of us. We need to read the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. And the Word of God needs to get into our hearts and our souls. It doesn't just need to be something we have up here in the brain. It's got to be in the core of us. God is your Father if he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Can't make it any simpler than that, can we? Well, that's another way in which you can do it. You're receiving His word. That's how that love that you have for His Son is going to show, is that you receive the words that come from His Father through Him to you. And you delight in being with Him. You delight in being with Him. And I'm going to pass this on this way, and hopefully it's taken in the right light. If you delight in being with Him as God your Father, and you do, why would you not want to be with the rest of the family? If you love your family, you want to be with your family, right? If there's a family reunion, you want to be there. You want to be accounted for because you're one of the family. You're not just in this huge group. You're one of. He's your Father. You're one of the children. Invite me to the reunion and I'll be there because I'm His child and He's my Father and you're my family. And that's in the house of God here at Liberty Fellowship. This is your place that you come to worship, right? And we're the family. Doesn't mean you can't with other people, goodness gracious. But I'm saying this is your family here at Liberty Fellowship. Let's be here together, folks. And I know COVID has really disturbed our church. We're not the only one, and we're not going to whine and cry about it because God is in charge of this thing, and He's my Father, and I always believed that my Father could take care of anything. My Father on earth. If we had a problem and we went to Him, He was a problem solver. I don't think I ever went to Him that He didn't solve the problem that I had. He could take care of it. Well, when I go to my God in heaven, my Father in heaven, He takes care of what's going wrong in my life. He can do that. I've got to receive His word into my heart, and I need to, more than anything, delight in being with Him and being with His children, my brothers and my sisters. Amen. The evidence that we're talking about is that I want to draw nigh to Him. He said, if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. I normally don't do things outside the lines, but I want to show you something here, okay? I think I'll use Jimmy. Jimmy, I'm going to draw nigh to you. What are you going to do, Jimmy? just want to make an illustration. When we talk about drawing nigh to God, that's exactly what we're doing. We're going to Him. What did He say He would do? He said He would draw nigh to us. Now, that gets us together faster. I don't know if you know anything about speed. I do. But when we're drawing nigh to Him, He's drawing nigh to us. And folks, that gets us together faster. We've got to delight in being with Him. Now, how do you do that? Well, maybe, just maybe, that when you go to Him in prayer the next time, you can understand why He is your Father. Because you are talking to Him. When you go to Him in prayer, and we ought to love to pray. We ought to love to pray so much that we do it every day. Every day. And not just at the supper table. Get up in the morning and talk to Him. He's your Father. And He's alive. I can't talk to my Father here on this earth anymore. He's left here and gone on to glory. But I can still talk to my Father in heaven. And He wants to talk to me. And I want to talk to Him. And that's evidence that we're His because we delight in being with Him. He is God of all. But, hadn't done that in a long while. But, there's a difference. He is the God of all, but only the Father to them that believe. Write it down, because that will take away all the confusion that this whole world is going to send your way. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. The closer it comes for the Lord to come back and get His children, the more of that confusion is going to be here. We've got to wake people up because we're His children. Amen? So in that case, one of the evidences is going to be that we tell others. This spring, you know, we go into our, like bears, go into the cave and hibernate. When winter comes, we tend to hibernate more. You know, we get out and do the things we want to do. But if there's something we don't want to do, we say, well, that's too cold. Can't do that. Well, anyway, we hibernate, you know, in some ways, right? We do. But we've got to get out and tell others about Jesus Christ. And I'm praying that this spring is going to be a revival time in our church and that COVID is not, I didn't even want to mention that name, but that old thing that's been keeping us apart for so long is not going to be in our speech anymore. Not that we don't believe that it's real, for heaven's sakes. Man went to the moon. For some of you who are too young to remember that, we didn't believe it. That was the truth either. Amen. God didn't intend that. If He'd intended that, He'd put man on the moon. That's all the arguments that went with it. But we're going to tell others about Him. He says, we cannot but speak of the things which we have seen and heard. And folks, we've seen and heard a lot that comes from God. We need to tell others, don't we? Don't you want to talk about Him? I could never talk enough about my dad. And I still talk about him. I tell people one of the best dads ever, one of the best men ever. He was a better man and Christian than he was a preacher. And he was a great preacher. I tell people he was the man of all men to me. He was my father. Well, how much more should I want to talk about my Father in heaven? What am I going to say about my Father in heaven? Oh, could I give you some stuff? He knows everything. Woo-hoo! He knows everything. He's omniscient. He is more powerful than any force in the universe. He is omnipotent. He is never not anywhere. He's everywhere at all times. Is that enough to talk about your Father? How much more do you need? Well, let's talk about His holiness. We want to talk about His holiness? Could go all day talking about His holiness. What about His righteousness? Talk all day about His righteousness because He is righteous. About His faithfulness to you, His faithfulness to the church. His faithfulness has always been there. His grace, talk about His grace, His favor on you and His favor on other people. His mercy. He's so merciful to us. Let's tell people. Sometimes people ask me how I'm doing, and I use the word blessed. I'm blessed. I need to tell more than that. I got to tell more than that. I need to tell more than that God's good. He is good. But let's tell more. Let's tell what He did for mankind so that he could be saved and go to heaven and he could be their Father. We got to go farther than I'm just a blessed man. Let's tell about His loving kindness. Let's tell about His love. For God so loved this old world. Do we have some things to tell this old world? We got more than we can say, folks. Let's talk. Let's talk. Let's tell Him because He's our Father. Another way we can do it is to be like Him. Be like Him and please Him. Now, we know that the Bible says that we can't please God apart from faith. I was trying to help you. You won't please God apart from faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is trust. That's what it is. Faith is not this mystical creed that we have that goes on, my faith is this, and I'm strong in my faith, and faith is a word misused so badly. It's a trust in Him. Trust, trust, trust. But in this one, I want you to talk about being like Him. Irritates me to no end for people to say, the only one of you boys looks like your daddy is Dave. Tickled me to death the other day when somebody told me, says, when you're in the pulpit preaching, I can see your dad in you and some of the things you do. Well, man, I was happy. I was like my daddy. I was like my father. I want to be more like my Father. Don't you? If we do, we can. Because you see, our spiritual DNA. How you like that? Our spiritual DNA. Nowadays, everything's DNA. If you want evidence, get the DNA, right? And I'm saying to you, if you want the evidence, get the DNA. Where are you going to get the DNA? Well, how the truth. It comes right from His Word. His Word is the truth, and we can have that DNA. But the spiritual DNA has to prove that God is my Father. Jesus said, I delight to do Thy will, O God. That is spiritual DNA. Not what we say, but what we do with the truth. I delight, he said, to do thy will, O God. Then I'm saying, then we should be like him. That's what we should do. We should want the will of God to be our life. Is God your Father? Is there a resemblance? A resemblance. Babies, when they're born, people start looking at them right away. And they try to figure out, is that his daddy's eyes? Is that his daddy's nose? Is that his daddy's ears? Does he have any features that resemble his daddy? Do we resemble our Father in heaven? Liberty Fellowship? Do we, individual members, do we resemble our Father in heaven? Do we love like he loved? We can't love totally like he loved, but is love a part of our DNA? Is mercy a part of our DNA? Do we favor others? Is that a part of our DNA? It's a part of his. That's who he is. He favored us. Others is the key word in his language. Others. That's all of us. Is God your Father? No doubts. Can't have any doubts. Let's bow our heads. If there's any areas where you see a resemblance of who and what God is in your life, thank him for it today. And thank him for sending the one who made it possible for you to have him as your Father. We should talk about Jesus all the time, because he's the reason that we have that awesome DNA in our lives. We're so like him. God, we're thankful today that you're our Father. I want you to be Father to everyone who's in this building today. But then, Lord, if we have come to that conclusion that we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are our Father, God, may we take it out of this building and take it to a lost and dying world. We're going to thank you for that. We're going to thank you from the bottom of our hearts, because that means we can lead others to Christ. We're going to praise you for what you've done and what you're going to do with this message. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand to our feet, and as we stand and we sing this song, what's the number? 201. If you'd like to sing this song, 201, let's sing it and let's remember what God's told us already this morning. Responsible to tell that story. We can't just leave it up to God to send some sort of a message down. We're his vessels. We are the voice of him. We've got to do it, folks. We're so responsible to do that. I hope and pray that you're leaving here with a deep sense of what this message has all been all about. I want you to know it more than just a Christian phrase. I want it to be real to you. So real that it changes how we do every day of our life. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Brother Tony Tipton, would you dismiss us, please?